Backlash, written by Morris West and read by James Wright. They had left the lowlands and were climbing steadily on the narrow road that wound dangerously round the high flank of the mountain. Below them was the steep fall to the river, rushing loud and boisterous under the overhang of ice and the bare branches of the alders. Above was the heave of the mountainside, with its swathes of black pines, beyond which the snow ran clear to the summit and the blue of the midday sky. The jeep skidded perilously on the icy surface, and Sergeant Willis wrestled it away from the drop. They stopped, got out and jacked up the wheels to put on the chains. While Willis was fitting them, grunting and cursing at the cold, Major Mark Hanlon stepped out in the middle of the road and looked up at the mountain. Straight ahead of him was a broad gap in the pines. On either side, the dark trunks rose like pillars in an ancient nave, and their diminishing perspective drew his eyes onward and upward to the sharp line where the sky and the saddle met. Under the trees, the snow was stained brown with fallen needles. But beyond, it was a white dazzle, broken only by the grey of rocky outcrops and the organ pipes of the distant Grauglockner. Then he saw the skier. He was right on top of the ridge, a tiny black puppet, with his head in the blue sky and his feet in the white snow. Hanlon took the field glasses from the case round his neck and trained them on the motionless figure. A moment later, the puppet began to move, slowly at first, thrusting himself forward with his stocks, then gathering speed as he hit the steeper fall. At the first outcrop, he checked and made a tight turn that brought a whistle of admiration to Hanlon's lips. The glasses showed the wild flurry of snow and the precarious angle of the skier's body. Then he righted himself again and headed downhill in a long, diagonal chute, straight for the opening in the pines. When he reached them, he'd be doing 70 miles an hour. Hanlon's shout of surprise brought Willis racing to his side, and together they stood and watched the wild, suicidal plunge down the dazzling hillside. He did not check or turn at the humps, but took them, flying like a skeleton bird, his stocks trailing like wingtips to balance his landing. The two men watched him, breathless, waiting for the fall that would send him tumbling and broken down the slope. But he did not fall. He came onward faster and faster, until they could see the grey of his uniform and the green flashes of the Alpenjäger regiment, and the rifle slung between his shoulder blades and the gleam of his polished pistol belt.